Good morning to those of you at home. When we show this on Sunday morning at the Elmira Baptist Church's auditorium, I'm going to be giving these announcements live, but I wanted you to have them at home because there are quite a few birthdays here in the month of October. So let me get started. Marge Granger has a birthday this week. Christy Dean, my wife, Ken Chan, is turning another year older. Gina Jones, Marisa Plackey, and Jeff Shea. So wish them a happy birthday. Let me turn it over to Scotty, and he will teach us another lesson on reciprocal living.
Thank you, Pastor. We appreciate you allowing me the privilege of talking about the one another commands, which we've entitled Reciprocal Living. And if you don't have the notes, they're labeled Bear One Another's Burdens, and they'll be on the back table for Sunday school. And if you are at home and you would like these notes and you're not receiving them, let us know. Call the church office, and we'll try to make sure that they get to you. This is Bear One Another's Burdens. I believe this is the eighth study for November 1st. And welcome to everyone. For those of you here in the church, it's good to see you. Actually, I wish I could see you. I wish I could see those at home as well. But perhaps if we pray and ask the Lord to heal our land, we'll be able to get together again. Meanwhile, we will do what we can to share good information with you and share the Word of God. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege of studying your word, how we are encouraged, how we are blessed, how it raises our spirits, how it helps us, Father, to face this world, especially in 2020. What a challenge this has been. And Lord, many of us have had burdens this year. Thank you for lifting our burdens and helping us, Father. We pray that we would be a church known for bearing one another's burdens. I pray that you bless everyone listening this morning. And I pray that you would help me to be able to share the Word of God in an honorable way, a way in which is most effective, that your Spirit would help us to understand to a greater degree the importance of bearing one another's burdens. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Speaking of the handout, I have a typical handout with the introduction with a few questions. There won't always be questions. To give you hope, there won't always be questions. There's a command that we find from the Bible that we've drawn these studies from, and a definition of that command, what that means, and then commitment. That's a new section. Talk about the commitment needed, examples. Then some examples of burdens, and then principles and applications. And today's lesson has three pages, although it's not any longer, just to put your mind at ease. Great example. Who's the great example of bearing one another's burdens? Caution, and how to bear burdens, and then the importance of bearing one another's burdens. Since we're going to be talking about bearing burdens, I thought it might be helpful to look at a few questions regarding burdens this morning. And first of all, are Christians exempt or excluded from trials and cares and difficulties and negative circumstances and issues and illnesses? I'm on the introduction, the first bullet there. Just because you're a Christian, are you exempted from trials and tribulations? Well, the answer is no, we are not. People everywhere have cares and problems of one sort or another, and Christians are not exempt. Some people teach that, but that's not true. Some people suffer from loneliness and depression, and some are anxious and worried about the future, someone they love. Others have illnesses that are besetting them, or they're hungry, they don't have enough food, or there's poverty. Some are even imprisoned. Some are overcome or mastered by a habit or sin. And while faith in the Lord Jesus Christ does not exempt people from the cares of the life, he has made a provision for that. And that leads us to the second bullet. How does God want us to deal with having burdens or others in the flock having burdens in the body of Christ? And we'll read 1 Peter 4:19. And I chose to kind of group that in a category of suffering, because having burdens, generally people have a burden, they're suffering in some way, shape, or form. So 1 Peter 4:19 reads from our Bible, "Wherefore let them suffer according to the will of God, commit the keeping of their souls to Him and well-doing as unto a faithful Creator." I know I say this all the time, but I really love that. That is that committing of their souls. The word commit comes from a word that means to entrust. To entrust. And it's a banking term. It means to deposit for safekeeping. Where else could we be more safe than in the hands of God and in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ? So Peter actually was reminding those that he was writing to in this epistle that they have committed their lives to God, and they were simply giving back to God what He had created. And who better to take care of us than the one who created us, our Creator, because He knows us every bit. He knows every hair on our head. He knows everything about us. Who better else to take care of us and help us? And then moving along to the third bullet, well, God wants us to entrust our souls to Him as our faithful Creator. And what does He want believers to do regarding the suffering of others? And I'm going to read 1 Peter 4:7-10. "But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer, and above all things have fervent charity." That word is love. It's the old word for love. "Among yourselves, for charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging." And then verse 10, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." God wants us to minister to one another. And He wants us to, the word in verse 8, "And above all things have fervent," that word is earnest, earnest. And it comes from a Greek word which means to be stretched, to be strained. And it's used of an athlete who is running at top speed, straining and stretching his muscles in order to achieve what he needs to do and the goal. And the kind of love that's earnest love is a love that is strained and that an athlete would use. It would, to be strained as an athlete, as we love one another, earnestly love one another, to be stretched, to be strained. And a Christian is supposed to put others' desires ahead of his own in order that he may serve one another, bear one another's burdens, and help one another. And that's actually despite any kind of reaction from the other person. Not all of us are lovely. And we are to put ourselves out for others regardless of what their response is. Certainly love does cover a multitude of sins. So what God wants believers to bear one another's burdens. He wants us to be stretched, to strain our spiritual muscles, if you will, to help others. So let's look at Galatians 1-3 to look where the command is. We're under the command section there. And I've actually put a couple of words in there to make it easy for you to remember in Galatians 6:1-3. "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted." And verse 2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Now, I've never done that. I've never thought more of myself than I ought to. And that's not true. I'm kidding. We all do that. But we are not to do that. So bear you one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, I put it in your handout that the word bear there means carry. Now, I knew that, but it means to carry. But it also means to carry with endurance, doing it even if it's hard and enduring and patiently and all of those things that are encapsulated in endurance. And then burden is extra heavy load, a load that another person would have difficulty in carrying. And we are too, and also the law of Christ, I don't have that in your handout if you want to write that down. The law of Christ is the law of love, which the love fulfills the entire law. The Lord Jesus Christ said that, sometimes called the law of Christ. And that we are then, according to this command, supposed to carry with endurance the extra heavy loads that others might stumble because they have and they're hurting. And we are to do that, I said, with endurance, out of love for our brothers and sisters in Christ. Those are profound statements that we need to do. It's a command. God has asked us to do that. And looking at the definition in your handout, because I tend to be wordy, I know that, but I thought this, it's good to have a lot of things in there so that you get every aspect of the truth. Bearing one another's burdens is voluntary. I put that because you have a choice. Even though it's a command, you have a choice. It's voluntary, but that doesn't mean that you don't get to do it. It just means that it's a choice. It's voluntary in response to God's command, taking on yourself a fellow believer's difficulty, problem, need, or oppressive situation as if it were your own, and taking any possible action to resolve or alleviate it in love. Not out of obligation, in love for the glory of God, in love for Christ, and in love for each other. How many of you have had a burden and you got dropped on you a ton of bricks, and the Lord sent someone, you prayed, and the Lord sent someone to help you, and they came alongside and they say, listen, we can face this together. I'll be there for you. The Lord be there for you, you know, and then pointed out things that would help you. And I've had that happen to me, and that's a blessing. This is a powerful thing for people to have happen to them. So we need to be involved in that kind of ministry. We need to fulfill the law of Christ and help those in love that are struggling or hurting for many different reasons. So under commitment, looking at the commitment, I just put a few things down here that are really assumptions involved before you're ready to serve one another or build up one another's, bear one another's burdens. Build up one another was last week. Okay. The commitment. Number one, individual believers. I have thought about this a long time. Individual believers are not sufficient unto themselves, but we are interdependent with each other in the body of Christ. And I read last week 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. That talk about how we work together in the body of Christ. And the body of Christ can actually strengthen one another and get stronger as we exercise those commands that the Lord has given us. And we follow Him as we obey Him. We can actually get stronger. When we exercise our spiritual muscles, we get stronger. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, and then we'll skip to 26 through 28. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, and thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, government, diversity of tongues, and so forth. It goes on. And then Romans 12, verse 4 through 6. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members of one another, members one of another. Having then gifts according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to proportion of faith, and so forth. He goes on and on about the gifts. We are not sufficient to one another. The Lord has gifted us with gifts so that we can work together and make ourselves stronger. I'm weak in an area. Somebody comes alongside me and ministers to me and strengthens me and says and helps me in that area. And that's a blessing. And that's how God intended it to be. God is sufficient. We're not sufficient. And we know that the Lord had, remember Paul had a thorn in the flesh. And the Lord said to him, my grace is sufficient to thee, sufficient for thee. And we know that. And God's grace is sufficient for us in that he has ordained that we work together to build up one another, to strengthen one another, to bear one another's burdens. Okay, I have a quote that I really love, and it's from a gentleman named Wayne Mack, who is a Christian author, written about 26 books. I don't know of him. I looked at him before. I try to look at people when I quote them to make sure that's not somebody that I shouldn't be quoting. But he said, I believe that one major reason that the Church of Jesus Christ in the United States is very close to being in sheer chaos today is because so many people think of themselves as individuals rather than part of the body of Christ. So I want you to hear this last sentence. Christianity is not every man for himself. It is every man together for Christ. And that is true. And that is today's lesson in three words. It's every man, four words, five words. It's every man together for Christ, right? Amen. I love that. I love that. We are to work together in the body of Christ. Number two, as far as commitment, we're at the bottom of page one. Each believer needs the love, support, and ministry of others to develop his own Christ-like patterns of living. That is the goal, that we not just eliminate problems, and that's a goal in love, but that we help each other to be more like Christ, the head of the body. We are to be imitators of Christ. We are to love him. We are to serve him. We are to be like him. We are to imitate his character and have patterns of living that honor him and glorify him. And then number three, each believer is responsible to assist fellow believers in the body of Christ in their effort to be Christ-like. I have a responsibility to help my brother and sister in Christ be more like Christ and to help them. And bearing one another's burdens is important. Let's look at a couple of examples here. The first one is, we're at the top of page two on your handout, examples. These are from Scripture. The church at Antioch sends gifts to Jerusalem believers. Acts 11, 27 through 30. And in these days, starting with verse 27, and in these days came prophets from Jerusalem to Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth, and that word is famine, throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man, according to his ability, these are the people at Antioch in the church, determined to send relief to the brethren which dwelt in Judea, and which they also did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. So they were burdened for the, and had a heart for the people in Jerusalem and Judea, and actually took up a collection, and people gave as they could, and they sent Barnabas and Saul to meet the need to help bear the burdens of those that were hungry and were being affected by the famine. And that's a real blessing. That is a real blessing. Number two, Paul and Philemon regarding Onesimus. Now, I gave this illustration before, right? Some of you remember a couple of weeks, 3 weeks ago or so. And I think it's a great illustration, and this is one of my favorite stories in Scripture. Philemon 10, there's only one chapter, Philemon 10, 17 through 19. And by way of background here, Philemon, they held the church at Colossae in Philemon's house. And he had a slave named Onesimus who ran away, stole money from him, and ran away in Rome. And the Lord directed him, we believe, into the path of Paul, and Paul won him to Christ. So now he calls him a son that is begotten in my bonds. And after Onesimus becomes a Christian, he helps Paul a great deal. But Paul knows that he needs to reconcile with Philemon, so he sends him back. And this is what he writes to him. I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. That means accept him like you would accept me. If he hath wronged thee, or if he in aught or anything, put that on my own account. Paul have written it with my own hand, I will repay it. I pointed this out last time. Albeit I do not say to thee, like I'm not mentioning the fact that how much you owe me, even thine own self. You owe me yourself besides. Paul has a gentle word here about how much Philemon owes him as a reminder to make sure that he receives Onesimus, which I'm sure he did the right way. And this is a wonderful picture of Paul bearing the burden of this invaluable slave, which is now valuable because he has accepted Christ. And a person that has run away and sinned and stolen, and Paul said, receive him as myself and put whatever he owes you on my account. I find that incredible. And that's a picture we know, not a part of this lesson, but I have to mention it, that God, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, he bore all our sins. He took everything and put it on his account. He also, in reverse, gave us his righteousness. As we accept him and we become Christians, we accept his righteousness. So when God sees us, he sees the righteousness of Christ. And this is a type and a picture of that. I love that story. Now, moving on. Oh, I actually want to share with you a longer quote. But and it's funny, I don't have a single book written by John MacArthur. But I've used a lot of his material in this study because it's right and it's good and it's the best I can find. And so I want you to bear with me. I'm going to read about a page because this is the best summation of this subject I have ever come across. And I want to share that with you. And it is, I want you to really pay attention at the end where it talks about Galatians and what Paul was trying to do in Galatians, because it's Paul through and through, and he really talks to the legalizers about what they're doing. And then he says, you want to do that? Then you do this. So listen for that. He starts out by saying, we are commanded repeatedly to seek the things that are above, Colossians 3:1. We are instructed to look not to the things that are seen, but to things that are unseen. 2 Corinthians 4:18. We must not allow the burdens of this life to divert our hearts from heaven. How's that possible? When the load weighs us down and the troubles become too much for one person to bear, pie in the sky sentiments can sound very hollow. But that is precisely why the church is so important. It is our duty as believers to help bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6:2. When someone staggers, we help steady the load. If he is straining, we help bear the load. And if he stumbles, we lift him up. Helping fellow believers carry the weight of their worldly troubles is one of the chief practical duties that ought to consume every Christian. Of course, that concept is contrary to the drift of our culture. With secular society's tendency to foster self-absorption, that's self-love, me first, Our generation has developed an unhealthy obsession with entertainment. We are daily assaulted with a plethora of trivial diversions, and we tend to interact with one another in sound bites or through faceless media. We live in crowded cities and overpopulated neighborhoods, and yet most individuals are more isolated than ever. And let's be honest, churches nowadays often imitate the culture precisely where we need to confront and counteract its influence. As churches seek to become bigger and flashier and more technologically savvy, they usually tend to become more cold and impersonal. Contemporary churches sometimes even seem to encourage the me-first agenda of self-love rather than the one-another commands of Scripture. As a result, we don't bear one another's burdens as we should. Yet, now here's where I want you to listen really carefully. Yet Paul made this duty of bearing one another's, doing the one another commands. Yet Paul made this duty a high priority. It was the centerpiece of his admonitions to the Galatian churches. The first half or more of Galatians is a defense of justification of faith. The just shall live by faith, right? And a series of arguments against the false teaching that threaten to place churches in bondage to the law. In Galatians 5:14, he reminded them, the whole law is fulfilled in one word. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. How's that love best manifested? Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians 6:2. Do you want to fulfill the moral requirements of the law? Love your neighbor. How do you love him? By bearing his burdens. It's interesting that Paul would emphasize this theme in an epistle written to confront people who are falling into legalism. It's as if he were saying, you want to observe the law? Well, let it be the law of Christ. If you have to impose burdens on yourself, let it be through acts of love towards your neighbor. Put that law on you. I just love that. I can see Paul doing that. This is really great. If you will do that faithfully, your own burden won't seem so heavy. Best of all, you will find it easier to keep your focus heavenward, regardless of your trials that you suffer in this life. I love that. If you want to observe the law, let it be the law of Christ. If you have to impose burdens on yourself, let it be through acts of love towards your neighbor. Amen. Your brother and sister in Christ, part of the body of Christ. So thank you for your patience in me reading that. You can see now why I wanted to read that. It was really powerful. Some examples of burdens on page 2, the second heading down. I'm just going to characterize some of these because sometimes we just don't think about them if we don't have them. But I want to share with you some of the things that just came to mind as I thought about this prayerfully. Examples of burdens. First category is kind of weaknesses or faults. Personality, faith, habits. And I put in there pandemic fear or fatigue, and even pandemic panic. We kind of joked about it, and I've joked about it, but some people it's real. My son lost his job because of the pandemic. Others have lost their job. People are having trouble making ends meet and making their house payment and having difficulties. And that leads into basic and physical needs. Illnesses, food, shelter, clothing, transportation, disaster, storm, fire, loss of power, flood, etc. And I want to commend this church because I know a lot of people just very quietly took others into their homes that had difficulty because of fires or loss of power, and they brought them in and took them into their own homes and sheltered them with great hospitality. And I think that is part of bearing another's burden, and that's really commendable. Other needs, financial, employment. And I put employability because I used to work in helping people find jobs and helping employers find people. Some people are not employable. They don't have the skills. They can't be at a place on time. They can't focus on something. They have so many other problems, no transportation, so many other problems that they're not employable. And Christians can help with that. Debts, legal issues, imprisonment, restitution, probation, parole, work community service, working in community service. The next bullet, emotional anxiety. A lot of people suffer from fear and depression and grief and loneliness and worry. It's such a hard, those are so hard taskmasters. Spiritual, sins and fears and doubts. And I didn't put those last because they were last. I put them last because I wanted to emphasize sins, fears, and doubts. Sin is a great barrier to our having a good relationship with each other and as well as with Christ. Okay, now we're coming to the section I call principles or applications. And I put applications because I want you to know it's not a cold, hard principle, but that we need to apply it to our lives. Okay, the first little paragraph before the numbered set of items there is, what does it take? What's necessary for us to be successful in bearing one another's burdens? And some of the things that I thought of were having a true fellowship in love and wanting to loving our brothers and sisters in Christ and having a true fellowship. And by that, I mean a biblical fellowship, having a commitment to do that, being available, having a trust that God will protect you and help you as you do that. Being spirit-filled, following the Spirit, not your own dictates. An openness to be able to do that. Some people are so closed you couldn't get to them in Fort Knox. And then other people are very open. You need to be perhaps somewhere in the middle, open to help people. Be willing and have an ability to listen. Perhaps you have met people who have an inability to listen because their mouth never stops talking. We need to be able to listen and really absorb what somebody is telling us, and to express care. I have an ability to express care and concern and put the other person first. So let's look at number one. So these are kind of applications and principles associated with bearing one another's burdens. Believers experience burdens of many, many types, and we all have burdens. And when one is suffering, we all suffer. Remember, I read 1 Corinthians 12:26 that stated that fact and said that when one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. When one member be honored, then all the members rejoice with it. And I have to say that some of us think, well, I know so-and-so, and they're a mature Christian. They don't have any burdens. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. They have burdens. Or somebody says, well, there's so-and-so. They have a lot of money. They don't have any burdens. Wrong. In fact, I think the more money you have, the more burdens you might have. Or you see, oh, there's so-and-so. They don't have any money. They don't have any problems because they don't have anything to worry about. And that's not true. Every one of us has problems. Every one of us. Will Rogers used to say, I never met a man I didn't like. And when I teach this, I usually say, I never met a person that didn't have a burden or a problem. If somebody tells you they don't have a burden, they probably have it and they just don't know it. So every one of us has burdens. And when one is suffering, we all suffer. Moving to number two, believers should share their burdens with each other. We need to trust each other and share our burdens with each other as God leads. God did not. Notice the not is capitalized, capital N, capital O, capital T. God did not intend for us to bear the burdens that we have alone. He's chosen to use our brothers and sisters in Christ to help us meet the need. 1 John 3, verses 14 through 19 read, we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. And moving on to verse 16 of 1 John 3. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought also to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion for him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us love and let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. Bearing one another's burdens and having love for our brothers and sisters in Christ is one of the assurances that we can have of our faith. And it also honors God in our obedience. And God blesses that. Number three, a believer who knows of a burden that a brother or sister is bearing is obligated to take that upon himself or herself. Not taking it, the burden, is to disregard the law of Christ, which is to love one another. And looking at Romans 13, 8 through 10. Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to its neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And this is not the love, the easy law that we see in the world. This is the biblical love that's willing to lay down their life for their brother and sister in Christ and help that person in their need. Looking at number four, bearing burdens is best achieved when there's an established relationship with, and I left out, or between believers. Our assistance in helping the person meet their burden must be in response to the other believer's need and done in a way that's appropriate for that believer and their specific burden. Now, if a friend of mine came up to me and I had a need, they might say to me, Scotty, what are you whining about? Get up. You know better than this. Stop having a pity party. Stand up and start serving the Lord. And I'm here for you. Now, in other words, kind of a rough approach. However, if you came up to some people and did that, it would make things worse rather than better. So you need to know the person and have a relationship with that person in the Lord Jesus Christ and understand that person and what works in working with them. And if you don't have that, you develop that as you go, as you try to help. And I think that helping people in a manner that's appropriate for them and that they can receive is important. I have a quote from Luther. Martin Luther said that Christians must have strong shoulders and mighty bones so that we may help others shoulder a burden that is too difficult to carry alone. So we must have strong shoulders and mighty bones so we can help others shoulder a burden that is too heavy for them to carry alone. Martin Luther. And indeed, that's what God wants us to do. He just doesn't want us to sit in the pew. He wants us to stand with our fellow believers and help them serve God. Number five, and the last principle I want to share with you before we look at the great example on page three. Bearing one another's burdens is evidence of our love for our fellow believers. And John 13:35 shares that with you, 34 and 35. A new commandment I give unto you, this is the Lord speaking, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Bearing one another's burdens is sharing love. Bearing one another's burdens is reflecting the love of Christ that we have received towards our fellow believers in Christ, in the body of Christ. And it is a powerful testimony to those outside that are unbelievers. So looking at page three under the great example here, the Lord Jesus Christ bore our burden of sin and punishment at the cross. And we've mentioned that before, but I think it's important to realize that the Lord, we must bear one another's burdens within the body of Christ to follow His example of serving. But I know we know these passages, but I want to read them because we need never take for granted or forget what it took for the Lord to die on our place in the cross and be raised again, and the suffering that He went through. Surely, Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, and I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 8, 9 and 1 Peter 2, 4. Surely He hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet did we esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. With His stripes we are healed. 2 Corinthians 8, 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that, though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. And finally, 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Amen. Now, looking at 1 John 3:16, and I wrote it in your handout because I think it's an important question, because I know sometimes we may get weary in well-doing, but how can we do less than our Lord who made our salvation possible? We need to bear one another's burden. We need to follow. How can we do less than His example and follow that example? And 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. How important that is, that we serve one another, that we love one another, that we bear one another's burdens, as we're talking about this week. So I want to mention a caution here. So kind of put your brakes on bearing one another for just a minute. And I just want to mention something that I think is important. So we'll do a parenthetical caution here. Okay. So, red light's on. I want you to think with me. Now, to honor God when bearing one another's burdens or whatever we're doing, we should actually work with the same gender to avoid the appearance or opportunity for inappropriate conduct. So, no one can from the outside can look and say, look, 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 look. And we don't want that. We don't want to have anything bring a reproach on the name of the Lord. And when it's necessary in serving Him to work with another gender, then it's good to go in a group or take a spouse or a partner. And the idea is from 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. And that word is translated form, but I think appearance is a good translation because it recognizes that we shouldn't even give the appearance of evil. We want to give the direct knowledge to people that we love God and we're right in the center of His will, and there we have love for each other and we have a great unity, and we're not doing those things that they do out in the world. We want to have a good testimony before God to honor Him. So caution light is off. We're now back to green. We're going on down the road talking just for two more headings here. How to bear burdens. Now, I wouldn't begin to try to teach you how to bear another person's burdens. But I want to share some principles that I think would be helpful to you as you serve the Lord. As I've said, number one bullet is it's highly situational and specific depending on the need of the individual and the individual believer. And then the second thing, which probably should have been first, is listen. Just listen. Now, I said that like that is because Scotty, by the person talking to me, I already got the solution and ready to tell him how to fix it. I mean, but I have to listen. I have to say, your job is to listen to this when I'm trying to help and bear somebody's burden so that I understand. And people need to be able to express what their burden is. And then after they're through, I get a chance to ask a couple of questions to see if I understand what they're telling me. But listening is powerful and it's important. And one of the least least talented areas of American livelihood is listening. Americans are not listeners. We get overwhelmed with so much stuff, we don't want to listen. But we need to listen. Determine if the person wants help or just to talk. Express concern and willingness to help. Pray for the person and don't just say that, which has become what people say and don't mean. Let's have lunch together. That's another one. Pray for the person and follow up with them. Ask them, how is it going? Then invest time and spend time with that person if needed. Provide help or resources if needed. Teach the person how to help themselves if possible throughout the process. I used to work in what's called workforce development. That means helping employers find people and people find jobs. And I would run job clubs. And what I would do is I would not get a job for a person. I would teach a person all the steps and skills to get a job and then push them out and let them flap their wings and fly on their own so that not only would they get a job this time on their own, but the next time they would get a job on their own. And we need to teach people how to fish, not just give them fish. So help people learn. And scripture is a great way to do that. Encourage the person and offer to act as an accountability partner if the person is trying to overcome a sin or a bad habit, which is a huge issue these days. And then finally, in love, share God's word and help the person apply it to their situation. Share something that's happened to you that's similar and give them an example or just give them scriptural principles. The scripture is powerful than any two-edged sword to come back and it helps us. It helps us understand what we need to do and it gives us principles of what we need to do. And then my last example is really I just call it rope up, okay? climbers that, and I'm not one. Obviously, you could tell I'm not a climber, okay? But climbers and those that are really athletic that go and climb glaciers and mountains come across crevices, and many, many of them have fallen into those crevices and died. You know, as their eyes goes together, then they're killed, sadly and horribly. So what they have done is come up with this whole process of crevice rescue. And they go now in 2 to 3-man teams, sometimes 4, sometimes more. So let's say that there are 3 people. They have one rope tied between 3 people, one on the end, one in the middle. And as they're going, if somebody falls and just disappears, they know immediately they've fallen into a crevice. They turn and they face away from the crevice and they fall on the ground, put their axe down, their ice axe, put their knees in the ground and their feet in the ground, and they wait for the yank that's going to pull, and it stops the person falling down in the crevice when they hit the end of the rope. Both of them do that. Then one person gets up, hammers some type of thing down in the ground, stanchion or something, to be able to wrap the rope around to help. And he gets up, he puts a pulley on, and then they take that rope and they begin to pull him up slowly. And the pulley works 2-for-1, so it actually makes him half his weight. One stays on the ground and holds, and the other pulls that rope. So I was thinking about this. Many people have been saved about this. And where I first came upon this, I was reading a story about how some fellow fell down into the ice and they were able to save him because of this situation. And so it's seemingly a real complex thing, but it's simple because it involves a rope and some pulleys. And all they have to do is remember, and they practice this. They go out and they're trained in this. And it has saved hundreds of lives, let's say. So I was thinking about this, and you know, sometimes I've thought about the crevice. The crevice is kind of the pitfall that people have, and they get a burden, and boom, they just boom. Sometimes these people just disappear, and you think, what happened to them? You see like a little piece of snow go up or something. But we need to help those people, and we don't want to lose them. And I thought about the rope here in this little illustration, and there's no right or wrong thing here, but I was just, the rope, to me, made me think of the love that the Christian has to bear that burden. And it's Christ's love. And we pull on that rope to help pull people up, to get them back to the surface and help them lift them from that load. And we need to use that rope of love to bring people up and help them. And, you know, we can't win the world for Christ if we lose each other. And that is so powerful. We could be the best evangelists in the world, but if we don't have a church to bring it back to, we're not going to be successful. So our time is up. I wanted to move down into importance. And when believers bear one another's burdens, they promote the welfare of other believers. And in turn, they promote the welfare of the whole body of Christ. When any member is suffering, the whole body suffers. And when that member is helped, the whole body is helped. And also, this becomes a demonstration to the world of the love, and I put this in there twice on purpose, of the love that Christ demonstrated in a powerful, practical way. Because loving one another, indeed, not just in word, creates a meaningful testimony to the lost world for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And my last quote here is by John Wesley. He said, "Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as you can, and I would like to add, with as much love as you can." And we need to bear one another's burdens with that spirit and that amount of love and dedication. And I'm really so thankful to be able to share this with you. May God bless you, all the ones that are listening, all the ones that are in Sunday school. May God bless you. And I'd like us to be known as a church that bears one another's burdens, a church that cares for one another, a church that reach out to lift each other up. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the privilege of serving you. Thank you for the privilege of being in the body of Christ. Give us a love for each other that is fervent, a love that stretches its spiritual muscles to help one another. And Lord, I pray that we would be again known as a church that bears one another's burdens. In Jesus' name, amen.